Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I am your host, Austin Peterson, here with my associate editor, Ian Hewitt. Ian, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
Welcome back to the show. Today we are talking about, we're continuing the conversation about the mysterious case of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who, if you don't know anything about this case, is the man who was released recently as a prisoner of war from Afghanistan. And in doing so, we traded, appears to be, five Taliban field commanders for this prisoner of war. And the reason why this story has become so big, we think it's because Ian and I are sort of postulating that we think that it is a distraction for the president on behalf of the Veterans Affairs scandal, which we think is the president, if he,
and also Carney's resignation. Remember, right. We've been so distracted from Carney's resignation that it doesn't even occur to you and I right away to suggest that maybe this is a distraction from his leaving.
Right, and so the president, and the most fantastic part of this story seems to be that the president actually thought, which should say something about the president's advisors, the president actually believed that by releasing Bo Bergdahl, that he was going to get the military on his side. Yesterday, the media was reporting that the president believed that the military and that the public would be euphoric about the release of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, which has not been the case. Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel went to Bagram Air Force Base and gave a speech to the soldiers about Bo being released, and apparently met with no applause, just dead silence. And the reason was because it does appear that Sergeant Bo Bergdahl deserted. He ran away from his duty. Now what's happening is that all of his squad members, even his squad leader, are coming out against him, saying, hey, this guy's a deserter, he's a scumbag.
There's definitely some compelling evidence for the case that he deserted, and that seems to be the general opinion in the military at this moment. Mm-hmm. But I think the case is not as clear-cut as it was yesterday as to whether or not he deserted.
Okay, well, listen to this. The former Army Sergeant Evan Buto was the team leader with Bergdahl the night Bergdahl disappeared. This is from CNN. He says, Bergdahl is a deserter and he's not a hero, says Buto. He needs to answer for what he did. Within days of his disappearance, says Buto, team monitoring, radio chatter, and cell phone communications intercepted an alarming message. The American is in Yahya Kell. He's looking for someone who speaks English so he can talk to the Taliban. And Buto says, I heard it straight from the interpreter's lips as he heard it over the radio. There's a lot more to this story than a soldier walking away. So his squad leader is almost accusing him of treason here.
Now, just to play devil's advocate here, I should point out that we are hearing this information, I think, third hand. This guy is relaying it to us. He heard it from a translator who heard it over the radio. So there is some potential for a game of telephone there.
Absolutely.
I'll point out that to show that someone has deserted legally, you need to demonstrate that their intention was to not return. Mm-hmm. So someone who like sneaks off and messes around and comes back, they have made a grievous error, but that is not desertion. Now, the New York Times has said that they spoke with an official familiar with the case who claims that Bergdahl left a note saying that he intended to desert. Mm-hmm. But the New York Times does not directly quote this individual, and there is a direct quote from a different individual involved with the case in the Military Times saying that we have no indication that he intended to permanently leave. And in fact, he had snuck off before and returned. Mm-hmm. So it is possible that he isn't a traitor, nor is he a deserter, but he was simply foolish and stumbled into this situation.
Well, and this is just speculation too, but it's speculation from Army Sergeant Evan Buteau, who said that once Bergdahl had left, that all of a sudden the attacks by the Taliban, not only did they grow more vicious, but they became more accurate, and they were planting IEDs, whereas the IEDs used to be very inaccurate for how they were placed on the roads. Now all of a sudden the IEDs were hitting their marks, all of a sudden the attacks were coordinated. It was as if the Taliban knew how they would react and respond to the types of attacks that they gave. Now again,
I would be surprised if they didn't get any information from him. They had him for 5 years, and you know, Bo Bergdahl is, I believe, 28, I think, 28 or 29. Mm-hmm. In the video of him being released, he looks like he could be in his mid-40s. Mm-hmm. He looks like Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am sure that he underwent some sort of torture for the 5 years that he was in captivity, and they extracted every drop of information from him that they could.
Right, that's the big news today, is that the Taliban has released a propaganda video actually showing the release of Bergdahl. You can see him in a dramatic helicopter rescue where they're holding him in a small pickup truck, and then they move him into the Special Forces helicopter. And apparently the translation is that they're yelling at him in Bergdahl's face, the Taliban saying, "Don't come back to Afghanistan. If you do, you won't survive."
The Taliban actually put that on the video in English letters, and we've learned on a more lighthearted note, the Taliban are not good at video editing, nor can they spell words in English.
Right, right. So yesterday, Bill O'Reilly had on Colonel David Hunt talking about Bo Bergdahl, and he states unequivocally that Bergdahl is a deserter, and he says he's claiming that there were 14 soldiers who were killed searching for this guy. We know for a fact of at least 5 United States heroes who died searching for Bergdahl. Let me list their names off here just to honor the dead. Private First Class Matthew Michael Martinek died September 11th, 2009. Staff Sergeant Kurt Robert Curtis died August 26th, 2009. Staff Sergeant Clayton Bowen died August 18th, 2009. Private First Class Morris Walker died August 18th, 2009, and Staff Sergeant Michael Murphy died September 6th, 2009. These men were wounded or killed while actively looking for Bergdahl. Now, the Drudge Report is blowing up with, 20 or 30 different news reports this morning up there, and some of them are saying things
calling
like
him a traitor.
Calling him a traitor, where they're saying that he could be shot, he could be killed for this. The last time that the United States executed a deserter was World War II. I think it was 1945. But now we treat deserters quite a bit differently than we do. Before that deserter was killed, the last one that was killed before that was a Civil War. So the United States doesn't have a long track record of just shooting deserters. But
well, and a lot of legal experts say he's unlikely to face court-martial because traditionally former POWs do not face court-martial. Now, I mean,
but they don't face court-martial for what they do under the time that they're imprisoned. But what about, the fact that they desert? I mean, how can he not face a court-martial for contributing to the deaths of American soldiers, putting his fellow American soldiers in danger? You were captured.
It wouldn't be
fine.
Treason if he disclosed that information under torture,
right?
And I think it's also noteworthy that a lot of these soldiers who died looking for him appear to have been on missions where one of the objectives was, if you can, locate Bo Bergdahl. And there were other objectives on the mission. So it might be oversimplifying it a little bit to say that he directly was responsible for all 14 of these deaths or six deaths.
14 is not for sure. That was just the accusations from the colonel. But at least 5 were killed directly searching for Sergeant Bergdahl.
Now, the Drudge Report strongly suggesting that he is a traitor. This is, the sort of thing I'm trying to answer by being devil's advocate here.
Right.
I'm a little bit, I suppose, disappointed that, especially now that I learn more about the case and know just how vague it is, so many people are eager to assume he was a deserter or assume he was a traitor when I don't think that either of those claims have been very clearly established yet. And sort of leap to judgment before there's been a real clear-headed examination of the facts here. This is a quote from Joint Chiefs Chairman, Army General Martin Dempsey. The questions about this particular soldier's conduct are separate from our effort to recover any U.S. service member in enemy captivity. This was likely the last best opportunity to free him. As for the circumstances of his capture, when he is able to provide them, we'll learn the facts. Like any American, he is innocent until proven guilty. And I essentially agree with that, especially the part where even if he, you know, committed a serious crime beyond just foolishness, I think that he is still an American soldier, and it's still embarrassing to allow an American soldier to remain in enemy captivity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit dismayed by the number of people who are saying, because of this tidbit of information I've grabbed a hold of, I know everything I need to know about this case, and therefore we should have expended
no
effort.
But it's not just the tidbit of information, Ian. You're playing devil's advocate well, but the problem here is you're forgetting all of the testimony from his comrades. And, like, you can't get six soldiers to lie, to tell the same lie over and over
again. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not saying that anyone's lying.
You're forgetting that point. You're leaving that out. You're claiming that the note is the only evidence that he deserved
it. I'm assuming that everything that they're saying is honest.
Okay.
So, like, remember I said, I don't think the guy was making up the bit about the translator, but mm-hmm. I'm just noting that is, I think, third-hand information. He mm-hmm. said he was hearing it from a translator from the radio.
Right.
In the case of attacks getting more precise, mm-hmm. I think that's probably true, but I don't think that's necessarily evidence of treason. He was in captivity for 5 years.
Right, and you have to be careful about taking the word of the president's political opponents. Florida Senator Marco Rubio has been ripping on the president over this, claiming the president has violated the law here. He says the law is very clear. He must give congressional notification 30 days before any prisoner in Guantanamo is released. Apparently, the only person he told was Harry Reid, Rubio says. He didn't even tell the chairwoman of the Intelligence Committee, a Democrat, Dianne Feinstein. And he says this is a pattern of behavior by this White House. He believes that he's become a monarch or an emperor that can basically ignore the law and do whatever he wants. And there's a real growing frustration, even among Democrats, of this sort of behavior. Why didn't the president notify the head of the intelligence, the chairwoman of the Intelligence Committee, that he was going to do this? And you and I are not lawyers, but Senator Marco Rubio certainly should understand the law here. He says that he is required to give congressional notification 30 days before he releases a prisoner from
Guantanamo.
We've
posited that this is a distraction, and it's designed to turn the media narrative in a particular direction. And one reason why this might be an especially effective distraction is the controversial nature of Bo Bergdahl's capture.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got the Drudge Report, for instance. All of their top links are about how Bo Bergdahl is a bad guy, as opposed to how the administration handled this improperly and you released five Taliban commanders mm-hmm. in exchange for one sergeant. I absolutely don't think there's a reasonable defense to be made for trading five commanders for one sergeant.
Right.
I agree with Kevin Gutsman's comments here that George Washington never would have made an unequal trade of mm-hmm. that sort.
Well,
a terrible precedent. Capture one American soldier, you get five of your commanders released.
Right. So I read an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday that showed that claimed to have a source with a high-level general, ranking general, that said that the reason that the president did this was not because he wanted to distract from the VA scandal, but he postulated that the reason that the president did this was because, you know, he's trying to wind down the war in Afghanistan, and that the president didn't want to leave any loose strings, any loose ends in Afghanistan as we're trying to seal the deal in this conflict, because the president wants his legacy to be ending the war in Afghanistan, bringing the troops home, and bringing home everybody, including prisoner of war Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. So if that's true, it would obviously be a less sinister reason for bringing home Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, but
right.
Still,
I mean, I doubt Obama's motives are particularly anti-war.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, he increased the number of troops in Afghanistan and pushed to prolong the war in Iraq, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But right, if that is his motive to conclude things and to get Bergdahl home safely, I think that is a good motive.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it was handled in the proper way.
Right. Well, you know, and again, we were talking yesterday about the tribalism of the military, and their responsibility, they say, is to, or the and the Navy, you know, they say if a soldier jumps overboard or if he falls overboard, no matter what, the boat turns around and goes. Or in the Army and the Marines, they say no soldier gets left behind. Well, that's not true. And the thing is that despite the tribalism from the military, the needs of the American people have to come first. So sometimes diplomatically, it's not always possible to bring every soldier home. And certainly in this case, you know, you've got a lot of Republicans and former military members, people like Colonel Alan West, who's come out and said, hey, this seems like this was a bad deal and there's something sinister going on here. So the issue is that, you know, they say, well, we will always bring home every single troop. Well, you know, how many more soldiers would you have to have die to go and save this one scumbag? You know what I mean? And so the needs of the many sometimes do have to be weighed against the needs of the few in this kind of a situation. And it seems as if President Obama has just totally disavowed, like, the rule of actually protecting the country by releasing these dangerous criminals and doing so in a manner where he doesn't notify Congress, as he is supposed to according to the law, and put this country at risk for his own legacy. Because even if the president didn't do this for the VA scandal, even if he only did this because he wanted to wind down the war in Afghanistan, he's still only doing it to make himself look good. Remember, you know, yesterday it was reported that he said he thought that everybody was going to be jubilant and that this was going to be this beautiful air of, you know, excitement. And certainly, you know, we're all happy that we're getting this American out of captivity. We're not, you know, we didn't want him to, like, rot over there. But the fact that the president did this the way that he did it, the way that he released these Taliban commanders, the way that he did not notify Congress, as Judge Andrew Napolitano at Fox said, he said that the president has provided material aid and comfort to terrorists. The president undoubtedly has violated the law here in some way or another, Ian. And not only has he violated the law, it appears that he's put the safety and security of the American people at risk in doing so recklessly.
Well, I'll clarify. I think that the two resignations in quick succession definitely demonstrates a deftness at controlling the media narrative. And it would be awfully coincidental if the timing of this was unrelated to the VA scandal and Carney's resignation, I think. Mm-hmm. But I would point out, we are not simply talking about the life of one American sergeant, because it's one thing to go from having 10, you know, of your soldiers in enemy captivity to 9, and quite a different thing to go from having one enemy soldier in captivity to 0. That is a huge difference. So I do think we have to, when we do a cost-benefit analysis, like you said, consider his life to be a little bit different than if we'd just been removing one from a number. We now have no American soldiers in enemy captivity, so we have removed that embarrassment.
Yeah, well, it just seems to me as if Rubio is right, that the president sees himself as a bit of a monarch or an emperor here, that he can just do what he wants without any sort of congressional authorization. You know, it's just like what he's trying to do with the EPA right now. They're trying to unilaterally pass this sort of these climate change regulations, doing so without an act of Congress. And the president
could cost $1 billion in lost jobs
right,
every year.
Yeah. The president has got to go to Congress before he takes these kinds of actions. I mean, you and I are not fans of Dianne Feinstein, but she is the chair of the Intelligence Committee. Why did Dianne Feinstein not know about this? You know, I don't care if they're a Democrat
That's
or
a
Republican.
That's a good point. I mean, Dianne Feinstein would have probably rubber-stamped whatever Obama wanted to do, and he couldn't even go to her.
Right, and we're just talking about things from a simple perspective of how you look. The president is getting terrible advice. You know, whoever is advising the president on how to behave is, whoever the puppet masters are that are pulling the strings back there, they're screwing up big time, because, again, the president thought people were going to be euphoric. He thought the military was going to be behind him. He did it without seeking congressional approvals, releasing these Taliban ministers. I mean, why couldn't you just give one? If you had to give away Taliban, why? What, you had to have one? Like, what kind of? Here's the thing. He's
right.
A terrible negotiator.
I really want to know why it had to be five.
Five?
What was going on
really
behind closed doors?
Five high-level field commanders? Yeah. And the guy, listen, Bergdahl was a private when he allegedly deserted. And now he's only been a sergeant just from being promoted while in captivity. What are you trading? All these, you're trading cabinet ministers for a private.
I'd very much like to know how they arrived at the decision that they were going to
You are a terrible negotiator. Right. It's like saying, I will trade you one goat for 100 Humvees or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you're not getting a good trade here, Mr. President. Whoever your advisors are, they're screwing you, buddy. We feel bad for the president. It's embarrassing.
I'll point out the reason he has this, as you called it, monarchical power is in large part because we've, as you mentioned, the EPA, we've set up these large regulatory agencies that sort of can appoint their own people and then make these sweeping decisions with enormous consequences, like the EPA passing these crippling new regulations that did not need to go through any sort of election.
The president is going to get us all killed. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. We want to know what you guys think about this topic. What do you guys think about Bergdahl? I mean, he seems like a scum sucker, that's for sure. But what about the president? I mean, who's advising this guy? What do you guys think about this story? Tell us what you think. Have you got a tip? Have you got any interesting news? Something exciting you want to tell us? What about freedom in your own hometown? Tell us what's going on. Do you have a run-in with the police officers? Did you get it on video? Send it to us first at thelibertarianrepublic.com because we're here fighting every single day for your economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.